verses 1 through 9. We'll read responsively, then I'll read, and then you read. Mark chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you that I have the Word of God right here in my hand, that I get to preach it this morning. God, I thank you that we get to read it. I thank God, thank you that we get to study it. Lord, I pray, God, right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd encourage hearts. I pray you would be pleased with everything said or done now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and speak to you on the subject of the demonstration of elaborate love. The demonstration of an elaborate love. Here we see a love, and unfortunately we don't see this kind of love, as I'll be going through this passage in just a moment. But the kind of love that I'll be talking about this morning, we don't see it so much anymore. We don't see God's people necessarily, and that's not a blanket statement, that's not necessarily for everybody, but some have a tendency to go ahead and withhold what they can do for God. And we see here a beautiful illustration of a woman, okay, of a woman named Mary, who just willingly gave all that she had to go ahead and show her love to her Savior. The first couple verses, in verses 1 and 2, show a hatred of men toward our Savior. You know, things never change. Same thing today. You know, men still hate our Savior today. Not this crowd here, I hope, obviously. We love the Lord. That's why we're here today, amen? And showing up to church and being faithful in church shows our love for the Lord. But, you know, but there are men in this world, men that you may work with, that don't love our Savior, unfortunately. But the religious Jews were fed up with Jesus and his preaching, and they wanted Jesus dead, if you will, and they were willing to do whatever it takes to make this happen. The Bible says in verse number 1, they wanted to take him by craft. That word craft refers to a trick. They were trying to devise a plan to trap Jesus so they can kill him. Why were these people so angry? Well, I'll tell you why, and the same is said today as well, but they were convicted by the preaching of Jesus. You know, Jesus had exposed them of their hypocrisy. They claimed to be spiritual, godly men, and Jesus proved them to be phonies, and Jesus made them a fool in front of the common people, and they wouldn't stand for that. You know, they were humiliated, if you will. It was more than just humiliation. Jesus went in and spoke the truth, and they were convicted at the heart of his preaching. They were angry because Jesus was hurting their business. These religious leaders controlled the commerce down at the temple, and they were the ones who approved the selling of sheep and other items used in sacrifices. They charged a fee to sell the items and for the money changers to set up the booths. They collected a percentage of sales made. So Jesus coming into town, preaching the truth and so forth, you know, was also hurting their business, was also hurting the lining of their pockets, the money, if you will, that came in. So when Jesus threw the sellers of the money changers out, you can understand these religious leaders, the religious elite, were not happy. So they could only resort to one thing. They wanted to go ahead and kill Jesus. They were going to do anything they could to get rid of him. We see in this passage, as we walk through this passage, we see a truth that money or materialism does sometimes matter a bit too much to some people. We see that. We'll see that this morning right here in God's Word. Often people will be fine when money is used for something they all agree with, but if used for something they disagree with, better watch out. We're going to see that very clearly in this passage this morning. We see this passage reveals human nature at its worst, but we also see in this passage human nature at its best. Jesus here compares hatred of his enemies against the unconditional love of one loyal, godly woman, and her name is Mary. We'll see a picture of that elaborate, that extravagant, that extreme, if you will, love. The demonstration, a beautiful demonstration of one that loved her Savior so very much. We see how it is portrayed by a believer and how it ought to be portrayed in us as a believer too. But you know what? Listen to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, and let me tell you something, we can never match that love. But let me tell you something, we ought to be loving him though. Every single day you ought to tell him, even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't understand why life's woes and stuff, you know what, you can still get up, you still need to get up and say, God, I love you. I might be hurting inside, but God, I love you. I don't know why I'm going through this, but God, I love you. On the mountaintop, God, I love you. Doesn't matter where we are. But we see a beautiful picture of love portrayed here. Number one, we see the demonstration of this elaborate, extreme, some would call it, love. You know, these events took place in a little town of Bethany. It was located on the southern slope of the Mount of Olives. It was not very far from Jerusalem, and this little town was a favorite location to Jesus Christ. Bethany was a place that some of Jesus' closest friends lived. Martha, for one, Mary, and Lazarus. If you remember, they were very close friends to Jesus Christ. Often you would see Jesus visit their home and benefit from their kindness, and they would go ahead and dote on him and serve him, if you will. If you remember, it was Lazarus that died, and Jesus wept when he saw his body, and Jesus brought him back to life, if you remember back in John chapter 11. So Bethany was a special place for Jesus. This event in Bethany was held, the Bible says, in the home of Simon the leper. It appears that Jesus healed this man of leprosy, and Simon the leper was so grateful and so thankful that he wanted to go ahead and throw a party, or throw a feast, if you will, for Jesus in giving thanks to him. You know, praise the Lord. I thank God for those that get excited and are willing to give thanks for what Jesus has done. You know, this man, you know what, he could have done what others, you've seen other miracles of people just up going their way and so forth, but here was a man that took time, put a party together, if you will, got all the friends and loved ones and different people together just for Jesus to show him how thankful we are. I love getting around that kind of crowd that, boy, you know what, even the little things, someone says, boy, thank you, Jesus. You know, the little thing, it could be just a little thing that happened in their life and say, boy, you know, God was good there, amen. You know, thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. You know, but John's account of the same event tells us that Martha was there serving. You know, there were many different people here. Martha was there serving. Lazarus, whom Jesus was raised, was there, and so was Mary. It is Mary, okay? And we don't see the word Mary here, the name Mary here, but in John chapter 12 of this same story, of John's account, if you will, you see Mary is the one who performs the act of love to Jesus Christ. In this scene, Jesus is surrounded for the most part by people that loved him, that cared for him deeply. His disciples who served and were called by name, he's the one that called them, were there. What were they doing? The Bible says they sat at meat. They were fellowshipping together. They were enjoying each other's company. They were eating a meal together. Then something unusual happens. The open display of love begins to unfold here. I can see the people, and Jesus, of course, is eating there, and many people there eating and so forth, and fellowshipping and different things, and enjoying each other's company. And something unique happens. Mary walks out as Jesus was sitting there. She enters into the room. She has a little something in her hand there. People are around. People may be kind of looking at her and saying, what is Mary doing? She has an alabaster box, the Bible says. It's filled with an ointment of spikenard. We are told that this ointment was very precious, spikenard, very, very precious ointment. The Bible says that she took it and she broke it and poured all of its contents on Jesus. John's account tells us that she anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Well, by the way, you think about that. What an act of love that is. You know how you ladies like your hair all perfect and so on. Let me tell you something. By the time she was wiping Jesus' feet, let me tell you something, her hair was not in perfect form. Yeah. You know, lady, you know how it is. You know, before you go out, everything's every hair's got to be in line. Amen? You know what? One thing about me, you know, my hair is all perfectly in line. I don't have to do anything with it. Amen? But throw a little bit in there. But you know what? But you know how it is. But, you know, let me tell you something. By the time she was done, what an act of love. You think about that just a little bit. This box, this little box, alabaster box, was actually a flask or a bottle. Within that flask, of course, was that substance called spikenard. Spikenard is a red-tinted ointment that is drawn from a plant and grows in India. It is a perfume that often is used for the embalming process. It was very expensive, and only the very wealthy could afford it. We are told in verse 5 that this ointment was worth about 300 pence. 300 pence at this time was a year's pay for an average worker. In today's economy, 300 pence is worth about $20,000. What an elaborate gift. You think about that, 20 grand, so to speak, in her hand. What an elaborate gift. So Mary enters the room. She breaks the neck of that bottle. I got thinking about that. She broke it. Why didn't she, you know, I'm not saying it had a screw top. It probably had a cork, you know, back in them days. But, you know, she went ahead and the Bible says that she broke the neck of the bottle and poured the ointment on Jesus' head. I got thinking, why did she break it and not just open it like normal, if you will? And I got thinking, could it be that she wanted to make sure that every single bit of that expensive ointment was poured on Jesus Christ, holding nothing back? She wanted every single bit. Jesus, you are worth it. Every single bit she wanted to get on Jesus. What love. She pours a rest on his feet. Picture with me, she sits down at the feet of Jesus and washes his feet with her hair. What an act of love. Let me ask you a question. Do we love the Lord enough to give all and bestow upon him this sort of act? It's pretty quiet right now. Do we love him enough to go ahead and do the same thing? Is our love for Christ, as some would say, that extreme? Is that extravagant, if you will? It was to Mary. It was very important to Mary. Some would ask, why did Mary do this? What was she trying to say with this action? Who was she trying to impress? Was she trying to prove her love for her Savior? The answer to that is yes. She's trying to show, you know, every single bit. She didn't have perhaps a lot. She wasn't a very rich lady, if you will, but she took what she could, what she had, and she wanted to give it to Jesus Christ. I think she was making several statements here. Number one, she was making a statement about her commitment to him. What a commitment when she broke that bottle. You know, and once you break the bottle, there's no turning back, amen? There's no turning back here. Her commitment was unconditional. It was not, if Jesus, if you do this, I will do this. No, it was unconditional. He didn't have to go ahead and say anything. He didn't have to do anything specific at that time. Her love for him was unconditional. So often when when things don't go our way in the Christian life, we turn back and we start putting conditions in the Christian life. And by the way, that's when things turn sour, by the way. You know, stop putting conditions in the Christian life. You know what? We need to love God just as Mary does here, unconditionally. God, I will do this if you do this. God, I will. You know what? Stop negotiating with God and let's just go ahead and obey him and do right. Amen. She made a statement of her commitment. She was not turning back, nor did she regret what she did here. She was making a statement number two of his value to her. I wonder, I got thinking about this, 20,000, 300 pence, $20,000 of today's money, if you will. I want, you know, and again, a year's pay, if you will, for an average worker. I wonder, had she saved her entire life for this one bottle of ointment? I wonder if maybe she saved and she bought this for her own burial. But I see a gal, I see a young lady, who when she broke the bottle and poured all the contents on Jesus, kneeling at his feet and washing his feet, she was saying, Jesus, you mean so much to me. You mean more to me than anything in this world. And at that moment, nothing else mattered. No amount of money, not any amount of material stuff, but Jesus, she was saying, you're special to me. I think she was making a statement of his value to her. I think she was also making a statement about her value to herself. By this act, she was demonstrating that Jesus was more to her than her own reputation. What she gave up was her pride. She gave up her pride in order to go ahead and serve him. By the way, we should all do that. Why is it that we don't give our best? Why is it we don't give maybe our all? Why is it that we don't give what we should and so forth? You know what it is? It's pride. It's our stinking pride, if you will. You know, she was willing to give up her pride in order to serve him. She was simply saying, I love you so much that I don't care what anyone thinks of my expression of love to you. Boy, you know what? We would go far in the Christian life if we would just not care what the world thinks about our Christian walk. You know what? So often we go ahead and we, you know what? If we dress this way, if we listen to that kind of music or whatever, we'll go ahead and say these words. I'm talking about being a Christian. But so often we'll go ahead and water down our walk, or we'll water down because we're worried about what our coworker thinks. We're worried about what the outside world thinks. Let me tell you something. You know what? You'd go very far in your life if you'd stop worrying about what they think and you just go ahead and you do right. You do right. You get in the book and you read the Bible and you live the best you can according to the principles of the Word of God. You go ahead and you do right. You'll go a whole lot further that way. But you know why we do that? It's our pride. You know why we go ahead and negotiate? It's our pride. You know why we, you know, man, if I go ahead and dress that way, you know what? People are going to make fun of me. Let them laugh. You know what? Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. You know what? You know what? They may think they have the last word by laughing at you because you want to stand for right. They may think they have the last word, but guess what? They don't. Jesus has the last word. We sort of determine what kind of Christian we'll be by the world's terms. You know what? Let's just determine how we're going to be by God's terms. Let's get in the book and let's follow the principles of the Word of God. She was also making a statement about the value of her possessions. Nothing in the world was as valuable as Jesus. You know what? She said that, you know what? Jesus, I love you more than stuff. I love you more than this precious ointment. She loved the Lord more than things. She also made a statement about his worthiness to be worshipped and served. Why did she do this? I got to think, why did she do this? Because, you know why? Because she was thankful. She was thankful. She was thankful that Jesus saved her. She was thankful that he was her redeemer. He saved her soul, and she was filled with love for that act. And she no doubt was thankful for that he had raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. I think she was so overwhelmed with love that she was willing to give up all that she had for one act of selfless, extravagant worship. You know what's missing in Christianity is thankfulness. Just being thankful. You know what? To me, that is one of the greatest things that I can go ahead and receive from anybody is just a thank you. You know what? That is missing today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Brother So-and-so. Thank you, Miss So-and-so. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad, for working hard for me and putting food on the table. Amen. Thank you, Mom, for cooking the meals. Amen. Thank you for washing my clothes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what? It's time that we got thankful, amen. You know, but we go ahead, we got it secured to one day a year, Thanksgiving Day. No, Thanksgiving ought to be every single day of the year. Amen. You know what? But she was thankful. We see that great illustration. Why did she go ahead and give show this extravagant, extreme love, if you will? It's because she was thankful. And I think on top of that, she believed that Jesus was about to go to the cross soon and die. I think that she may have caught a hold of a truth because the disciples didn't quite get it until it neared his death. But I believe that she caught something that the disciples did not quite grasp, that Jesus was going to the cross. And as far as she knew, this would be the last time to go ahead and serve him. You know when the right time is to serve the Lord? Now. You know, the opportunities that you have now, this is it. So, you know, I've had teenagers, I've had young people, I've had people say, I'll serve the God later. You know what? Later doesn't necessarily come. You know, later doesn't come. You know, I'll go ahead and wait. I'll do that later. I'll go to church later. I'll do this. You know, they're saved. They're on the way to heaven. I'll go soul winning later. I'll ride a bus later. I'll do this or do that later. You know when the best time is to go ahead and serve the Lord? Right now. Right this very moment. She got it. She took the opportunity while she had it. She made it count for God's glory. You know, when was the last time you offered the Lord an offering of this kind of love? When was the last time that you broke the bank worshiping Him? When was the last time that you put aside your pride and gave Him adoration and praise like Mary did? When was the last time you got on your knees and said, "Thank you, Jesus"? You know, everything that you have, God gave the ability to get it. You know, the clothes on your back, you know, God gave them to you. What you have in your bank account, God gave it to you. You know, by the way, some may think the government, no, God gave you the ability to go ahead and go to work, and He gave you that money. He gave you the needs necessary to go ahead and make it. God gave it to you. When was the last time that you got on your knees before an almighty God and said, "God, thank you"? Maybe you have a little bit more of a month than money. Maybe you're always right on the edge and so forth. But every single day, every single one of us has a reason to get up and say, "Thank you." I told you, I walked around the church for a couple moments this morning. Heard the birds chirping. I took it personally. They were singing to me, man. Only wishing I could sing that good, amen? But you know what? As I was walking around, I took a lap around. I needed it. And then I was out of breath. So I just said, "I'm not going to go around again." I just went back and forth out back here. You know, I heard the birds chirping. Out back, went out my back office. Just walked back and forth for a few minutes. I said, "God, thank you for them birds." But you know what? The truth of the matter is, that's what I needed. You know, this morning, I really needed, you know, I needed God's creation to go ahead and speak. And you know what? They spoke to me. When was the last, listen, church, when was the last time you said, "God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free." But when was the last time that you were willing to go ahead and portray your love the way that Mary did? How long has it been that you placed everything you have, everything you are, and everything you care about on the altar of sacrifice before God? How long has it been when you place, when you do this, let me tell you something, when you do this, it is telling Jesus, "I love you." I'm talking about everything you have, everything you are, and you place it down before God. When was the last time you did that? And let me tell you something, when you do that, when was the last time you gave God your time? You know, when you go ahead and you give your time, you know, you bus workers that got up early and you rode the bus, you know what you're saying to Jesus? You didn't have to verbally say, you know what you're saying to Jesus? "I love you." Those of you that taught a class this morning, you know what you're saying to Jesus? "I love you." Those of you that are here this morning, I mean, yeah, it's effort to get up. You hear that alarm clock? That's the cruelest thing, invention in the world, amen? Throw across a room, you know, that's about the best thing to do. But, are sound asleep. You know what I'm talking about. Sound asleep. And then, bang, you know. I don't know if you were sound like that, but sometimes, you know. But listen to me. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. Sunday morning of all mornings. Oh, stupid alarm clock. You know. You ever wake up and you know it's on the verge. I mean, you look at it, you know it's on the verge of going off. And you know you should shut it off and just get up. You know, within minutes. You know, I look at it. Like this morning, I looked at it. My alarm clock was going to go off. I said, "Man, why couldn't I get that?" It was 5 minutes before the time was going to go off. I said, "That's not, you know, 5 minutes. I lost 5 minutes. 5 minutes, you know." But you know what? I was still dumb enough. Yeah, come on now. I was still dumb enough to lay there that 5 minutes hoping, "Oh, I'm going to get 5 minutes of sleep, at least 5 minutes of sleep." Still dumb enough. And then you know what? You know the annoying sound it makes. Burn, burn, burn. I could have shut it off and not had to hear that at all. Anyways, tell you my story. You know what I'm talking about. If you were preaching, you'd say the same thing. Anyways, but you know what? When you serve Him, you know what? When you teach your children to live right, do right, teach them the Bible. By the way, your family is your ministry, amen? But when you teach them the ways of the Lord, you know what you're saying to God? "I love you. I love you, Lord." Serving Him says that "I love you." Unfortunately, we don't always see this kind of love anymore. The truth is, there are very few who love Jesus more than they love themselves. The religious Jews, as we read there in verse number 1 and 2, they were that way. The truth is, many have their own agenda. They've got their stuff and they've got their comfort and all that seems to be more important. There are very few who will step up and sacrifice in their pride and possessions so that God would be honored by their giving. Unfortunately, there are not many today who will love Him as some think, would love him so extremely. You know, let me tell you something. You need to pour that love on Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what anybody says. You just need to go ahead and love on Jesus Christ. He's done so much for you. Think for just a moment. He's done so much. He's done so much. Let's look at our life in light of Mary's statement of faith, the statements that I made just a few moments ago. Are we totally committed to Jesus in an elaborate love that she bestowed? Are we that committed? Is Jesus more valuable to you than the things you have in possession of your life? You know, can I just say that? And I listen, whenever I preach this, someone's going to say, you preach on stuff again. Yes, I did. And again, I'm not against nice stuff. But again, of God. Now that's when it becomes, that's when stuff becomes problematic. That's when money, if you will, becomes problematic as we put it in the way of our serving the Lord. But I'm not against it. You've heard me say time and time again, I like new cars, I like new stuff, I like snowmobile, and I like all that stuff. Nothing wrong with that, but let's be careful not putting it in the way of God. Is Jesus worth more to you than your pride? Have you reached a place in your walk where the world does not determine what you do and not do for God? And not worry what the world thinks? Let's quit worrying about what the outside world thinks. We ought to be worrying about what God thinks. We ought to be watching how we're walking with God. You know, listen to me. You ought to be closer to God today than you were yesterday. I've said it time and time again. I know that. But you ought to be closer to him today than you were even a month ago. The lost world desperately needs our expression of love. Listen to me. The lost world desperately needs our expression of love. You know what? When you go ahead and you sit down at a restaurant, you pray for your meal. You know what? The lost world needs that. You know what? Maybe a fuel sticker. Whatever. Let them snicker. But let me tell you something. There's somebody in that restaurant that needs that. How often I've had someone say, you know what? They came to me after I prayed with my family in a restaurant, say, that was refreshing to see you pray for your meal. You know, the world needs to see that. You know, that coworker that you work beside, they need to see an expression of love for God through you. They need to know that you love God. They need to know that you really care about him. They need to know that you're not so ashamed of maybe reading your Bible at break time or praying before your meal. And go ahead and let them laugh. But you know what? Let me tell you something. You're not going to go ahead and reach that crowd at work. You're not going to go ahead and reach the world with us just watering down our Christian faith. It's time to go ahead and stand. It's time to go ahead and openly love the Lord. It's time to go ahead and say, God, I love you. Time for the church to fall head over heels in love with Jesus again. Far too many are like the fellow who called his girlfriend up one day and said, darling, I love you. I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would swim the deepest river for you. I would fight a jungle full of lions for you. I love you, and if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll be over to see you. Too often we love the Lord when it's convenient. We love him between 10:45 and 12 on Sunday morning. We love him when loving him fits our schedule. We love him when loving him does not get in the way of what we want to do or where we want to go or what we want to accomplish in our life that, by the way, he gave us. We love him to a point but not when it comes to give up something. Can I ask you a question? What did God hold back for you? You know, the word Christian means Christ-like. I mean, no, we're not going to reach sinless perfection this side of heaven. I get that. But we ought to be more Christ-like today than we were a year ago. We ought to be more like Christ in our journey, in our walk of life. We ought to be more like him each and every day. But when it comes time to give up something, we kind of, I love the picture, again, as I illustrated just a moment ago, when she broke that bottle. And I just happened to think it was because she wanted to make sure every single bit of ointment got on Jesus, because he deserves it. She didn't want to hold anything back. Can I ask you a question? We see a beautiful illustration of love. Do we have that kind of love for our Savior? Do we treat church as optional? Do we throw a dollar in the plate and think we've given? Do we live our lives on our schedule and by our own rules and say we're living for God? You know, I got reading and I got kind of convicted about Mary's love. Preacher of the gospel, I got kind of convicted about Mary's love. She was willing to go ahead and give everything. Mary wasn't a rich lady, as I said a moment ago. But she, you know, the Bible says he makes, Jesus, and we'll get to it in a moment, he makes a statement responding or refuting, if rebuking rather, the disciples, saying she had done what she could. She did what she could. She gave what she had, if you will. I'm convicted about that kind of love. We see the demonstration of this elaborate love. We see the discouragement of this kind of love. The demonstration was wonderful, but some words were uttered in verse 4 and 5. You can read it. But that should there were words that shouldn't have been spoken. The truth is that I learned from this passage that not everyone's going to go ahead and appreciate this kind of adoration and love. Not everyone's going to think that God is worthy of such praise. Some people think it is their calling to be as cheap in their love for God as possible. You know, these men, these that went ahead and rebuked Mary for this, over in, I think it was John's account, you know who they were, the disciples. It alludes to the fact that it was the disciples that said, this is a waste. This is a waste that you take this expensive ointment and you pour it on Jesus. We could have given it to the poor. Some want to be just as cheap as possible. The Bible says that there were those, of course, the disciples and others that were standing by. They were moved with indignation. They were very displeased with this, with what was going on. They weren't happy with Mary. It was Matthew's account that says that it was the disciples that spoke against it. They went ahead and said, it's a waste. That word waste means utterly destroyed, ruined. Ruined. It's a waste. Let me just stop and say this. It's no waste you pouring everything on the Lord. Bus worker, you keep on pouring everything you can on the Lord on Sunday morning. Sunday school teacher, you keep pouring everything you can on the Lord on Sunday morning. Preacher, you keep on pouring everything you can on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Usher, deacon, parent, you keep on pouring your life into them. God gave you. You know, when you do that, you're saying, God, Lord Jesus, I love you. Why did the disciples think this way? Why did these that were closest to Jesus, that Jesus went ahead and picked for ministry, why did they think this way? Well, the Bible says in John 12, you can turn to it if you may, but you know it indicates that John 12, verse 4 and 5, indicates that Judas Iscariot, he was the treasurer of the group, and he was a betrayer, of course, of Jesus later on. And he calculated in John chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, about how much this spikenard, this ointment was going to be, and it was worth, of course, 300 pence or $20,000. He then calculated along with the rest, he went ahead and pulled others in. Judas, mind you, Judas, the one who really was not in it at all from the very get-go. He was not in it with Jesus at all. Okay, he's burning. Listen to me. I believe Judas is burning in hell today. He betrayed Jesus. We understand. He hadn't betrayed him yet. But he was the treasurer of the group. He's the one that calculated. He got all the math together. Said, this is 300 pence. So he went ahead, goes ahead and draws the disciples and others in. And he's the one that kind of had that cloud over the head, I believe. He's the one that kind of had that cloud over the head and said, come on, guys. You know, John, James, and others. You know, come on. Do you understand? Do you understand? This is a waste. I think he could have been the ringleader. I think he could have been the one that went ahead and got the disciples, the ones who were very closest to Jesus. They were indignant. They said, this is a waste. What purpose is this waste? I believe personally, you may take up with me, that's fine. But studying this out a little bit, I thought Judas was never in anyways. He was just there. He was the troublemaker anyways. Can't believe he was the one that was a traitor, but he was the one, you know, and he's the one that said, we could have sold this for so much. Truth of the matter is, the poor would have got only a small percentage and most of it would have just lined Judas' pockets. But he said, we could have sold this. He's the one with the attitude. Now, let me tell you something. Your attitude, you be careful of this crowd that has the attitude. I can't believe You know, they're everywhere. They're in the church too. I mean, I've been in church long, and I've been in ministry long time. Just a couple years. I don't want to make myself sound old, but I've been around a little bit. They got the attitude. Can't believe he'd do that or that, whatever the case may be. You be careful of that crowd. You know, because let me tell you something, their negativity, their criticism, their whatever is going to go ahead and get a hold of you like a leech and then draw you away and get you to a point. Listen, isn't that just what the devil wants? The devil knows he can't take your soul to hell. But boy, he'd like to have everything, he'd like to do everything he can to have you be a stinker. He'd like to do everything he can to have you be a critic and negative and this and that cloud over your head and just, you know. Be careful of that crowd. Because I personally believe, just studying this out between the different accounts of Matthew, John, and Mark here, I personally believe that Judas was probably the one that maybe could have caused the disciples, those that were closest to Jesus that loved him, to have a bad attitude towards Mary. Can't believe Mary, you'd go ahead and put this. You know what the problem is? Here's a woman who loved Jesus so much more than anything. But you know what? The problem is they didn't love Jesus like Mary did. They did. They wouldn't have sat there and can't believe she'd do that. We could have gone ahead and given it to the poor. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Be careful who you hang around. Be careful of those who get negative, get critical. You know, some will get saved, you had 100 saved last year. Where are they all? I don't necessarily know, but God does. Amen. I've heard people, you want to go ahead and get people saved and baptized. You know, how come they're still not in the church? I don't know. And everything we can, try to reach them, bring them on the bus, a disciple, whatever the case may be. Where are they all? Be careful of that. Listen, you know what? God knows where they are. God knows where they are. We see the demonstration of this elaborate love. What a demonstration. We see the discouragement. Those that were around couldn't believe. Then we also see, lastly, the defense. The defense of this elaborate, this kind of love. When Jesus hears in verse number 6 through 9, when he hears of the mockery and what was said, he comes to a defense. He makes several statements that make it clear that he willingly receives his love for her, from her. These statements make it clear that he saw her sacrifice for what it was, that it was a gift of love. He says in Mark chapter 14, verse 6, he says he rebukes the disciples, he rebukes those who are indignant, let her alone. I think, I think that Jesus was very grieved with the attitude of his disciples. You think about it, let's put it in from our standpoint a minute. When we blatantly want to walk away from the things that are right, don't you think that Jesus up there, yes, he's walking away? No, he's not doing that. It grieves his heart. Back in Genesis, when God came to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy the world with water, with a flood, the Bible says that he looked at mankind and he was grieved to the heart. The word grieved means he was cut to the heart. It's almost like someone just went ahead and took a knife and just stabbed him, so to say. He was grieved. That word grieved means to be cut, hurt. God wasn't up there saying, yes, I am so glad mankind are living wickedly and vile down there. I can't wait to go ahead and have water come down and just wash them away and we'll go ahead and save Noah and his family. No. God didn't want to do that. He was grieved by the kind of lifestyle of mankind. But he saw Noah's righteousness. He saw a man that was willing to stand in the midst of it all. With his family, God said, I'm going to go ahead and save you because you're a man of righteousness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But you know, it hurt. You know, I could just imagine, here were these 11, and I couldn't, I can't really get away from it, that the very 11 that Jesus went ahead and said, I want you, 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 the 12, I want you, disciples. They saw Jesus do perform miracles. They heard him preach. They saw his good work, so to speak. They saw all that he did. They were very close to Jesus. And yet when a lady steps out, a loyal, godly lady steps out and says, I want to give you all that I have. Jesus, I don't have much. Here was the 12 that said, this is a waste. What we've got to learn from that is no waste giving your all to the Lord. You young people, listen to me. It's no waste you just deciding to do whatever it is God wants you to do. It's no waste. You know, real success, the world will tell you success is lining your pockets with all kinds of money and stuff and so forth. And if you do things God's way, God may just bless you that way. But listen to me. But you know what real success is by God's terms? It's finding God's will and doing it. You get smack dab at center in God's will, and you just go ahead and do whatever it is that God wants you to do. That is real success. That's real success. He says, let her alone. I think he was grieved. Mary gave all. They gave him nothing. She gave her best. They called it nothing but a waste. He said, let her alone. Then he says in verse number 7 of Mark chapter 14, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do to them, but me ye have not always. Jesus was not saying not to help the poor. As a matter of fact, we should help the poor and meet them the needs around us. But Mary did a wise thing here. She seized the moment. She took the very opportunity, perhaps the only opportunity before he was going to go to the cross. Says, now's the time that I need to go ahead and give God my all. She seized the moment. She knew that he would not always be here, so she took the opportunity she had right now and gave what she had. Boy, we ought to learn the same thing. Let's take a hold of the moments and the opportunities we have now. You know, listen to me. Boy, world dying, going to hell all around us. People say, man, during announcement time, I stress. Let's go out sowing. Let's get out there. Let's tell somebody. You know why? You know why? Because I know that there's a world dying and going to hell. And we here at Faith Baptist Church, we have the truth. But you fill in the blank. When Saturday morning rolls around, whatever. Listen to me. Mary understood, listen, if there's a lesson we can learn, she understood right now is the time. Because let me tell you something, Jesus is coming one day. Amen and amen. You know, the truth about it, you know, listen, and you know what? None of us are guaranteed another moment of life. The Bible says life is but a vapor. None of us are guaranteed that next minute, the next 5 minutes, or tonight. We're not guaranteed it. That's why church, Christian, it's so important right now. Take that moment and do what you can. Serve the Lord. Pass out them tracts. Show up for soul winning. Read your Bible. Pray. Walk with God. Get in church. Get involved. Just teach your children the ways of the Lord. Now is the time because we're not guaranteed another moment. When it's time to witness, witness. Time to give, give. It's time to serve, serve. Don't put it off. Do it now. That's why we should be faithful. Be faithful to God's house. Be faithful to soul winning. Be faithful in Sunday school. You know, we have a Sunday school class, and I'm just going to promote it for a moment. We have a Sunday school class for about every need here. In this little building of ours, on this little piece of property, we have a Sunday school class for everybody. And I happen to believe we have the greatest teachers around. Well, I want to encourage you, get in a class and stay in that class and serve the Lord in that class and learn. You come with an open heart. You know, you come to open heart to Sunday school, God will give you something. So often we don't come all prayed up. Lord, please give me, on your way in, don't bow your head and close your eyes. Okay, but as you come in, I say, God, Lord, I'm going to church today. I want something out of my Sunday school class today. I want something from the message, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I need something, Lord. You know, if you ask him, he might just go ahead and give you something. So often, church, sometimes, you know, it's just kind of same old, because we simply don't come with an open heart. Say, God, fill it. We don't come, if you will, with an open cup. Fill my cup. There's an old song, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I give it to you. You don't come with an empty cup and say, God, fill it. God, fill it. Your prayer life, your walk with God may be kind of stagnant. And let me ask you a question. When you get into the prayer closet, you know what? You ought to go ahead and before anything, I urge this, before anything, before you get on, maybe on your knees or whatever, just say a prayer. Say, Lord, I'm going to be reading your precious word in just a moment. Fill my heart today. Amen. I need something. You know what? Take the opportunity now. She took the opportunity right then. She got busy. She gave. She served. Mark 14:8, you know, another statement, he says, she hath done what she could. There was a lot that Mary could not do. There was not a whole lot of time to prepare a meal for him. There was not a whole lot of time to make him a garment. There was not a, she could not place, take his place at Gethsemane or Calvary. She could not take away the shame, rejection, hatred, or the pains of Jesus that Jesus would face. There was a lot she could not do, but she could do one thing. She had a little flask. People around, supping together, enjoying the meal, fellowshipping. Simon Leper had a meal, had a feast, because he was thankful that Jesus went ahead and saved his life. And I can see it. The people just gathering, eating. Here comes Mary. Jesus sitting there, the Bible says, eating. She gets down on her knees. She pours some ointment on her head. Everything that she could get out of that broken bottle, she put the rest on his feet. Took her long hair, started washing her feet, his feet. 20,000 dollars worth of gifts. And she didn't think twice about it. Jesus said, she done what she could. I ask you a question. Are you doing all you can for the Lord? God, I know I've fallen short many times. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, it's not because I don't love you, and I do love you. I know that I failed time and time again. Get up and say, I love you. I know I maybe didn't go that extra door, or that extra house, or maybe that extra few minutes that I could have soul winning. I know I didn't read my Bible as much as I should have this week, but Lord, I'm so sorry. God, I love you. Boy, there's a lesson we can learn from this one young lady. She gave all that she had. I don't think she had a lot. Studying her life, I don't think she was a rich lady. She might have been saving all her money for that particular ointment for herself later on down in life, for her burial. She was in awe that Jesus was there. That's my Savior. That's my Redeemer. Because of him, I'm not dying, going to hell. I don't have a whole lot, and there's not a whole lot of time. But I will go ahead and give what I have. Because she loved, she was committed, and she loved her Savior more than herself. I do think it's a problem today. We tend to live in a materialistic society. We really do. A lot of stuff out there, a lot of stuff that can get us distracted from doing what God wants us to do, church. I understand it. Again, I'm not against it. I'm only against it when it gets in the way of us serving God. But sometimes we just can't handle it. We get distracted. So, you know, Jesus ought to be the focal point of our life, as I mentioned last week, and we ought to keep him in focus. But sometimes look at, you know, flashy stuff will be, and we get off, oh, Wow, that's nice. That car is nice, or that's nice, or that's nice, or whatever. That activity is nice, but oh, it's on Sunday, but it's not a big deal. Yeah, it is. It is a big deal. Mary shows an elaborate love. The disciples and others said, that's really extreme. The world will think you're extreme. That's okay. Let them laugh. Let them think that. But listen to me. You do what God wants you to do. True joy, listen to me, true joy comes when you just fall in line, step by step, with the Lord Jesus. Great illustration of one that loved, truly loved her Savior. I ask you a question, Christian, where are you today? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Savior. Didn't take a whole lot of time with this portion. I'll be done in just a moment. If you're here today, maybe you've never experienced the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you've not experienced that love of God through his Son Jesus, who died on that cross, who is the only one that can take away your sin. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Boy, you ought to settle that today. You can walk down an aisle in just a moment and say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But today, I want to be saved. And we will gladly show you from God's word, not a religion, not a Baptist way or a Catholic way or Presbyterian way or whatever way. We will show you God's way. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We will show you God's way on how you get to heaven when you die. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, you ought to settle that today. Christian, I ask you today, where are you? When was the last time you told, Lord, I love you? God, I love you. When was the last time that maybe you've gone over and above what the world thinks, what others may think, but you've gone over and above and you gave all that you could? Your time, your talent, your tithe. When was the last time that you gave all that you could? Because I love you, Jesus. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the ministry. Maybe you could serve the Lord somewhere in the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. Maybe you could ride a bus. Maybe you could teach a class. Maybe you could be a worker. Maybe you could clean the church. Maybe you could drive a bus. Whatever the case may be. Maybe you could be a nursery worker, junior church worker, a helper. You know what? Listen to me. If you serve in that capacity today, again, you know what you told Jesus this morning? I love you. You showed him by your actions that you love him. But maybe you could serve. Maybe you could step it up. Maybe you could show up Saturday, go soul. Maybe you could go out on a Thursday night. Maybe you could take a few cards and go follow up somebody that's not been in church or whatever, encourage somebody. I ask you today, Christian, are you doing what you can? Jesus said about Mary, she hath done what she could. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for this truth. Thank you for the illustration of this young lady who loved you so much that she basically just gave all that she had to you. And Lord Jesus, you're so deserving of it. You've never held anything back from us. I pray, dear God, right now that you'd work on maybe some child of God's heart. Maybe there's some of us here that haven't given all that we could, aren't being all that we can for you, Lord. Maybe we've not responded to you in some way like you've been wanting us to. And I pray, dear God, there'd be a revival of God's people this morning that will just express openly their love to you. I pray maybe you'd be with that one. Maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice, they don't know Jesus as Savior. I pray today they'll settle that. I pray they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But you know, I've not been expressing my love in the way that I should to a God that, man, he gave me so much. And I saw it in a little bit different light this morning, and he gave so much to me, but yet I'm I know I could do a little bit more, and I'm holding back. I won't call you by name. I won't embarrass you, but you're saved. Maybe you're here today, you're saved, and you know, maybe you're holding some things back. And the Lord spoke to you. You say, preacher, would you please pray with me? Here's my hand. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody else? Saw many hands. You may put your hands down. Maybe here today, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Truth of the matter is, if I die today, I don't know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But you said the Word of God can show me how to get to heaven. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, we will show you from God's Word how you can know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven. If you're here today, and maybe you've heard the gospel message many times, but you never responded to it. If you're here today, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but would you please pray with me about this matter? Anybody at all? Our Heavenly Father, God, you know the hands. You know what's going in the hearts of these dear believers this morning. And I pray, dear God, right now that your will be done. I pray, God, there'd be someone here that'd be more sensitive to reaching this world, this lost world, for Jesus. Maybe someone more sensitive in reaching their children, reaching their family, and teaching them the ways of the Lord. Someone more sensitive about what it is, whatever it is that you want them to do, and not hold back anything, but just give all that we can, all that we have. We saw a beautiful illustration of a lady that did what she could. I pray God's people today will be willing to do all that they can to show their love to one that so loves us. Pray, Father, you bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. God spoke to your heart. God spoke to your heart. The music's going to play. You know, the music's not playing yet, but if God spoke to your heart, you raise your hand, you didn't raise your hand, why don't you go ahead and step out and come to the Lord, come to the altar right now. Talk to the Lord about it. The music's going to play in a moment. Don't worry about it. It's not started yet, but it will start. But you know what? First step. Don't worry about any music at this time. It's coming. But if God spoke to your heart this morning, I ask you, Christian, about your love for God. Are you holding back? Is there a little more that you could give, a little more that you could do, a little more of your time, whatever the case may be? Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior. You didn't raise your hand, but you know that there's that void in your heart. We ought to walk down and say, preacher, I need to be saved.